What's up, Cast Eye Country? It's your boy Mark with a couple real quick pre-show announcements this week, and quiet because my fiance is currently in the next room preparing to defend her dissertation proposal in the morning. That's right. I will soon be engaged to a doctor, but check it out. I just got back from what I think will be the first of many CDP retreats in the Catskills in upstate New York this week. Dominic, Ryan, Jordan, and I, along with some significant others, spent a safe, vaccinated, socially distanced weekend talking about our plans for the future of the show, which was awesome, drinking everything in God's creation, which is always fun, and playing some in-person D&D with minis and maps and real dice and everything, and, oh man, so cool, so awesome. But as I said, we drank a whole hell of a lot, so I may be beginning what could possibly be a 3-day hangover, so I need to go to sleep. But before I do, real quick, there's some pretty violent stuff in this episode. Some dismemberment, some, you know, combat violence. Some people get eaten. Spoiler alert. So yeah, watch out for that. Other than that, guys, no further ado, please enjoy episode 11 of the Cast Eye Podcast, After a Wild Crocodile. But speaking of cool stuff, this kind of leads me into, I think, a good start for this episode. Something I'm excited about, guys. To lead into it, I want to go around. I want to know what your favorite country, what you think the best country is. Battles. Let's start.
Oh, Ireland.
Not America. Ireland, okay. Yeah. Okay. Hands down. All right. Good. Ireland. Great. Great. Great answer. I love Ireland. I lived there for a little while. Why do you like it so much?
Scenically beautiful, people super nice, free healthcare, ancestral home.
Yeah.
Need more?
Very cool. Those are all good reasons.
Whiskey?
No, that's the perfect amount.
Let's talk
whiskey. Sure. Those are all good reasons, but that is not the correct answer. Ireland is not the best country.
Right.
Jordan.
Jordan, I feel like
the best country.
I've won. Putting me second is probably not smart for you because I'm already thinking about the game you're playing here. You're lucky that you're not letting us all say the United States because that would be every one of our answers.
Yeah.
America.
The absolutely chauvinists that we are. But I think what you don't want me to say, but I'm going to say anyway, and you're going to have to edit it out, is the Cast Eye country.
Oh no, that is not what I was thinking of. That is a
not, you know, Thorum.
As far as like air quote countries go, yeah, hell yeah, Cast Eye country is where it's at. Like Cast Eye country, the fans of Cast Eye are fucking amazing and phenomenal.
All right, but that's my favorite.
I love them all. Okay, all right.
Shout out to the fans. Solid. Thank you for listening. Your support is
not exactly
pander.
What we were talking about, but I appreciate it. Dom. What's the best country in the world? And we're talking about a real country, like a real, like actual country.
Have to say Italy.
Okay, let's hear it. Why? Why?
Because all roads lead to Rome.
That's a good point.
Damn.
It's a good point.
Great.
But it is wrong. Italy is not the best country in the world. Dwayne, what do you got? What's the best country
Estonia.
In the world?
Estonia.
Awesome. Why? Why is it the best?
Impeccable infrastructure. No social security cards.
Hmm.
No, not a million pins. You have one number. You have one thing that takes care of all your needs as a citizen.
I mean, those are ease of use is definitely up there. But I'm afraid Estonia, not the best country in the world. Andes, are you going to pull this out? Do you know what the best country in the world is?
I mean, because I here's the thing is I actually have no idea where this is going. So, I figured it out. This, oh, okay. Maybe. I was going to say maybe France because, you know, France is actually, you know, full of French people. Baguettes.
Which is nice.
Come on.
Baguettes.
Brie.
Very good.
We got cornichons. Great. All kinds of delightful culinary delights, you know, and Paris, you know, there's a place where we burned, you know, they burned down a gigantic church there accidentally, but
why didn't they just dump water on it?
Yeah, well, I mean, smart. It's right next to a river.
Also, yeah. I believe our only international listener is from France, if I'm...
We have multiple international listeners. But,
yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah,
we do.
I was wrong.
Yeah.
We branched out.
We were wild. Andy's, baby.
Yes, we are worldwide. Andy's, that was a very good guess. France is great, but that is not the best country in the world.
Damn.
Guys, the best country in the world is New Zealand.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
if I would have given a real answer, that's what I would have said.
Yes.
I mean,
Lord of
well,
the Rings.
You did. Yeah. So, yeah, Lord of the Rings.
Good grief.
You know, Taika Waititi, the guy who has made like every great movie that has come out in the past decade.
Yeah, love that guy.
The accent. You know,
the accent.
Yeah, Flight of the
great.
Concords.
Flight of the Concords. What We Do in the Shadows. Oh, we're going back over Taika Waititi again. But like still, what great stuff coming out of New Zealand. And speaking of people, we every single one of our episodes has one download in New Zealand. So there is somebody.
Love him.
Somebody in New Zealand listening to our show, and I want to say, hey, thank you. You guys are awesome. Someday, we're going to do the CDP live show in New Zealand.
Hell yes.
I almost moved to New Zealand before all of this went down.
Really?
Yeah, I have a friend who is moving with his partner to... His partner is a citizen, so they just moved back and spent 30 days in like a premium hotel walking around in quarantine for like 30 minutes a day outside, and then they did a cross-country road trip.
That is super cool.
Life
that is super cool. And I was like, I'll move with
awesome.
You.
That cross-country road trip could last didn't. Like what, a week?
Yeah, it's only like 5 days.
Yeah.
Still though, like you're getting yeah. like the best ecosystem in the world. Like you've just got nothing but beauty everywhere you look.
So biodiverse. You literally get everything.
Have you not driven through our wonderful country of the grand United States?
We have I have
swamps,
many a time.
Deserts, mountains.
You know what we have more it's of than anything, Dom? You know what we have more than anything? We have corn.
Yeah.
Yeah, from just doing a cross-country road trip, it is mostly flat, plain lands with just spikes of incredible beauty.
True. You know,
for a while, New York was New Zealand.
I didn't know that.
Go on.
You'd see them on every corner. Extra, extra.
New Zealand.
Oh.
Buy me last pizza. Yeah. Okay.
That was good.
Yeah.
That was good. I like that. It was fantastic. So great opening, guys. Excellent work. Are you guys ready to jump back in?
Hills.
So ready.
Yes.
I was ready when we stopped last time.
I'm with Jordan. I was like,
okay,
rearing to go.
That was then. That was then, guys.
This is now.
Let go of the past.
Whatever.
Live in the now.
Hells
okay.
Yeah.
What's happening now? What was happening last week?
Previously on the Cast Eye podcast, the Embers tracked a group of invading Gren through the sewers of Ulber and eventually caught up with them in the arena in the middle of the eastern city. They quickly joined the battle, attempting to save a group of gladiators, and it seemed to be going in the party's favor until someone released a huge reptilian monster who attacked the Gren and the party with equal ferocity. Yeah. Yeah, what's happening now is we are stepping back into the Imaginarium pods. Weep, weep, weep. And so, this immense creature has emerged from beneath the sands of the arena via a huge trap door. Its massive reptilian body measures over 20 feet long from the tip of its tusk-like tooth-filled snout to the end of its serpentine tail. It has just ripped a Gren in half, staved in the chest of another with its tail, and then eaten the head and torso of the first Gren, swallowing the top half of the creature in a few great jerking gulps. It then lets out another roar of rage and challenge.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was transported right into the maws of the beast.
Right into the maws of the beast. And then it looks over at Feltian and it gives a snarl.
Watch out, Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, did it burp at the end?
It did a little bit.
Wet,
it just
man.
it just swallowed a Gren without chewing. Of course it's gonna burp a little bit.
It burped up Gren.
Yeah. Little acid Gren flux. So guys, we're back. We're back in it. Are you ready? Great, me too. So the creature has just gone, and now we are with Gren 8, who sees this immense creature emerge from beneath the sands, and it somehow doesn't look very surprised. And it tries to seize upon this moment to take a swing at our friend, Feltian. And that's going to be a 7 to hit. So, that is gonna miss.
The weakest swing ever. I just watch it fly by and laugh.
You don't even take your eyes off of this reptile creature. Just like kind of like,
yeah.
Just
I feel a little wind behind me.
Yeah. Perfecto. That's how we like to start it out. Up next, though, is our friend. Oh shit! You're good. I was gonna say we get the pack tactics, but no, those other guys are dead. Pack Tactics, a lot of people don't know this. Pack Tactics doesn't work if the ally that you have within 5 feet of the creature is dead.
Right.
Makes sense.
Can't flank with a dead guy. So that brings us...
Unless it's undead.
Well, then I would have said undead. Dom. God damn it. Stop hitting my mic. My new setup, it's all crazy. So that brings us to Quant Cano. Quant. What do you know?
Well, Quant does not know what the hell this beast is. That's for damn sure. So, being afraid of this monster, he's got to look up and call down his god Mirathros, and he puts his hands together and remembering back to what happened in the sewer, he tries to conjure up that burning sensation in his hands and puts his hands out and like a Jubilee from X-Men, and is like wriggling his fingers. And a bolt of bird in hand flame comes forth.
Now, Quant.
Yes.
And by extension, Dom.
Yes.
Burning hands. The range is a 15-foot cone.
A 15.
So is this a thing of Quant just being like, and just spraying flames around him ineffectually?
Yes, it is.
I mean,
yes.
Yes. I will give you inspiration if you do that, but I will also let you move up if you want to.
While Quant is doing this, he also sees his friend Iota looking to be in the best position in the whole tournament up there on that pillar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's gonna spray his burning hands to no effect and then book it over to that pillar and try to climb on up.
That is... Oh, man. Yeah. 1,000% inspiration for wasting a spell slot. I love that. I love that because, of course, you've cast this spell, like, what, twice? Of course it's like, oh, my God! Oh, my Mirathos! Yeah. Just like, maybe, like, while you're running, just, like, waving your hands around.
Like a spaz with a flamethrower. Yeah.
And I'm yelling at Iota. I'm like, throw the damn rope! Throw the damn rope!
Don't burn the rope!
Oh, God. That's incredible.
Yeah, he grabs the rope with a burning hand, and the rope just turns into dust.
Like the gasoline-soaked rope in... What's the name of that movie where the kid fights the robbers?
Home Alone?
Home Alone.
Home Alone. There it is.
That's a deep cut.
Deep cut. You guys ever heard of that movie? That brings us to our friend, Wilhelminus Defoedible. I forget what we were calling him. The dude who looks like Willem Dafoe. And he is going to lash out at the Gren that took a swing at Feltian, his new friend Feltian. He says, "Not on my watch." And oh, he hits. And he does. Wait.
Max damage.
Woo!
Very nice. Max damage on Gren, the Gren known as Ocho. And oh, you know what? Ocho Cinco, baby, because he dead.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
He died like a little bitch with a fucking dull sword.
Yeah. Maybe part of it. He also took an additional 1d4 points of psychic damage when he missed you.
On that attack. He was beating himself up so bad.
I will say, a fake Willem Dafoe could be Willem Dafoe.
Yeah. In this case, he's Willem DeFriend.
Damn it.
But,
you outdone me.
You know, I'm only where I am because I'm standing on the shoulders of giants.
I am so truly
You forged the pun path. And yes, our friend drops that Gren. And then we go to Gren Ten Winds, who says, "Gary!" That was his friend Gary who just got killed. That was Ocho's real name. A lot of Gren. Gary is a very popular Gren name. I don't know if you guys
apparently only Gary makes friends with other Gren because he's like friends with all the Gren.
You know, the thing about Gren Gary is Gren lost. You know?
You asshole.
Yeah.
I hate you so much.
Yeah. I actually we came up with that a week ago, Jordan and I, we were talking about. But that's probably that could be the name of this episode. Gren Gary. Gren lost.
It would have been really good if we would have walked into
a Chinese restaurant.
That one guy's office. Oh. We would have walked into that one guy's office and he's just on the phone saying, "The leads are shit."
And is that a Gren? You have Alec Baldwin dressed up like a Gren and it just says ABG. Always be grinning.
At the end of the campaign, the reward we get are a pair of brass balls.
Oh, man.
First place is a new car. Second place is a set of steak knives. Third place is TPK.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, man. All of our David Mamet fans are going nuts right now.
Yeah.
Big David Mamet, fan of the show. I don't know if you guys know that. David
Mamet.
He's
also really huge in New Zealand. So.
Yeah, he is. So then we go to Gren Ten, friend of Gary. And he is going to attack Wilhelminus Defodial. Defodial William. Willem DeFriend. And he misses. And then we go to... Yeah, Willem's on a roll, baby. Willem's on a roll. We go to Gren 11, who sees Baltus turn in surprise to see this reptilian monstrosity, and he attempts to take full advantage of that by sneaking up behind him and swinging his deadly Kopish. And that is a hit. He
nice poker face
in two. And then he's going to take that swing. It's going to do 4 points of damage on Baltus. And yeah, Baltus, who turns in shock to see this creature emerging from the depths beneath the arena, and this Gren comes with a vicious slice across the back of Baltus's body, otherwise known as his back. And Baltus screams in pain, and his hands open, and he drops his sword, and he falls to his knees, wavering, you can tell, on the line between life and death. Iota Cunningham, up on the top of the pillar. What are you doing, baby boy?
Don't forget your friend down here.
He's fine.
Well, there's been talk about this rope. Did I use a rope to get up there?
No, you climbed because you were just a climber.
I thought I used my climbing skills.
You did.
I figure you might have a rope, so I'm just yelling.
Just
there's chain along the pillar.
Yeah, there's also a chain on the pillar, Dom. You can use the chain to climb up there.
Oh, that's right.
On your next turn.
So,
Watch my ass.
So the first thing I say is, I didn't use a rope. I used my awesome climbing skills. But there's a chain right there you can use to get yourself up. By the way, what was up with all the fire going everywhere? That was really crazy.
I have no idea. I have no idea. I'm still trying to master all this stuff.
Wait, quick, man. hurry up, get to the top, keep climbing. Did everyone react to this beast? Because I feel like I need a shout out to Prime and Felchian to get the hell out of Dodge. And
oh yeah, everybody. Like,
there's
everybody
a dinosaur in the room. We see it.
Yeah.
I load my short bow and I try to find if there are any areas of vulnerability on this beast that just entered the cage.
I like that. Roll me a... Yeah, nature or animal handling. It looks like you, for both of those, you've got a... you got a +2 for nature, so... There, well, a 4. Yeah. It's just like, you've never seen anything like this. This is like, you know... You've probably like not even seen that many reptiles. You know, it's pretty cold up in Nemora. You know, so like cold-blooded creatures other than like, you know, birds and stuff. You probably haven't seen a whole lot of terrestrial lizards and whatnot.
So I just fire my short bow.
Yeah, let it rip, baby.
To see if it does any damage.
Yep.
20.
With a dirty 20, pretty much any area is vulnerable. And 8 points of damage on the creature. Yeah. So, your arrow flies true, and you see it doesn't go in as deep as you would expect. You know, this creature has, like, thick, that is just flavor description. I'm not saying it has, like, a resistance or anything. The arrow probably doesn't sink in as deeply as it would on, like, a more soft-skinned creature. This thing clearly has, like, a tough reptilian hide that I make a lot of boots or purses or stuff out of this if you want to later. But yeah, it does some damage. Iota, anything else? Any bonus actions or anything?
I reload my short bow and keep an eye on Quant's back as he climbs up to the top of the column.
Excellent move. Then we go to Gren 13, who is going to take a swing at Willem de Friend and miss. And then we go to Gren 14, who is going to... Oh, geez. Oh, gosh. Oh, okay. Yep. As much as this hurts my feelings, we gotta do what we gotta do. He closes on Baltus. He sees easy prey. And he takes a swing with his cruelly curved sword. He misses. But now, pack tactics are in effect, so that is going to be at advantage. Oh man!
You love to see it.
What movie is that? Oh! I'm thinking of The Patriot.
Wow!
You know when Mel Gibson is like at the very end when he's, spoiler alert, if no one has seen this 20-year-old movie, when Mel Gibson at the end is like he's dropped the flag, he's dropped to his knees, and Jason Isaacs is like coming at him with the sword, and then he just at the last second like does the head dodge, and then kills Jason Isaacs, and wins. And wins the Revolutionary War.
Single man. With
the That's flag. America.
Yeah.
Classic
yeah.
Mel.
Classic Mel.
One of the most inaccurate movies ever.
I'd argue there are a few things that I associate with Mel more.
Yeah, he was based off of a real guy named Daniel Morgan, who was actually a hero of the American Revolution. In case anybody was curious.
Let's get back to this game.
I did not Google that, by the way. I just knew that shit.
I'm a big fan of Francis the Swamp Fox Marion, but we are recording our 1776 podcast right after this, so we'll save that for then.
Sit down, John.
And then, there it is. And then we go to the top of the order. Who sings that? Patrick Henry?
Yes.
Nequende, portraying Patrick Henry. give me an attack roll, or give me death.
Yeah, exactly. Apparently we're all climbing poles, so I assume I have some facility doing that, because what is a pole but a big wide tree? Going to run to this pillar. And forgive me, how tall are they?
These are 20 feet tall.
Okay.
So with a you'll be able to get most of the way up there.
Cool. And do I need an athletics roll or anything like that to shimmy up?
That is going to be an athletics roll. Yes. Got to beat a 13.
Fucking fuck. I got a 12.
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah. So. Son of a bitch. I think it's one of these things
fuck,
where
fucker,
like,
fucker, fuck,
you know, Yeah, there's a lot going on right now. This
like
giant fucking dinosaur.
It's like slippery. There's like a pool of blood at the bottom. Why is this so slick?
You're used to like climbing trees.
There's no nubbies.
Branches and bark. And it's so you like jump up and like and like kind of slide back down.
Okay,
and,
next time.
You know, nobody saw it. So.
Yeah, they look around. They're like, no one. Yeah. Everyone's eyes on the dinosaur. No one saw that.
Everyone's got their eyes on the dinosaur.
I got a mulligan.
Don't worry about it. Yeah. Do you got a bonus action or anything there you want to do, Liquinda?
Oh, that was probably not great for the mic. No. Good talk.
Fair enough. That brings us to Prime.
Seeing everybody run for the pillars, seeing what is happening right now, I shout loudly to the rest, everybody in the thing, I say, get to high ground! And then I, for a moment, I am transported back. Seeing all these young Goliaths, all these young, you know, participating in training with each other. They're like fighting each other, fighting against larger Goliaths, adults that are helping in their training. And I'm watching them as they fight with each other. Yet I am watching from a ledge 100 yards away. Because I have always been a solo fighter and taught in the ways of fighting on my own. But in the last few days, I've learned to value the life of the warriors around me, along with myself, to an extent. And seeing Baltus brought to his knees, I will move in between him and the large reptilian beast.
Okay.
And I... Let me know what I can do here, but I want to try to grab the Gren, one of the Gren that is menacing him, Gren 11, mm-hmm. and throw him towards the beastie.
I love it, and I want to talk about how we can make that happen, but first I want to talk a little bit more about that, like, Gren training thing. And I think, you know, there's, like, that very specific, like, year in Gren development where they train a lot, and you're saying that you are not... allowed to play in the train year games? I'll edit that out later. So you're gonna grab this Gren and you're going to throw it towards the giant reptile. I love that. I think it's very cool. Are you going to, because you're holding your glaive, right?
Yes.
So are you going to attempt to do this one-handed? Are you going to drop the glaive and do it with two hands? Or how are we doing it?
I think I'm going to drop the glaive and throw.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. So since you're using two hands, since he wasn't looking at you, I'm going to say that you get advantage on this athletics check that we're about to do.
All right. Oh, my God. I'm not going to get cocky because in one of the last episodes, I was like, oh, an athletics check? I'll just hope I pass this. And then I got like a two.
That. Okay.
And that's a one. So I'm glad I have a...
Well, can you beat a six? Yes.
Yes.
Yes, you can.
Hold on.
Yes, you can.
Roll advance. I got a six.
No, you got a 10.
Wait. I got a 10, yeah.
Yeah, the Gren got a six. You got a 10. So, yeah, as the Gren is just like... cheering on his buddy who's trying to kill Baltus, and then like, oh no, he missed.
Yeah, as I'm rushing in between Baltus and the thing, I just, as he's cheering him on, I grab him from behind with, I drop my glaive, grab him from behind with both my meaty paws.
Yeah.
And just kind of barrel toss him.
Yeah, these Gren are huge. These Gren are like, you know, on the 7 foot side of 6 feet tall. But Prime, who is 8 feet tall, right? Just like you are able to, between the surprise, between all this other stuff, you get him and you toss him, and he is now directly in front of, like, standing, like, right on top of the bottom half of his buddy who got ripped apart in the last time on the Cast Eye podcast. You got anything else?
Yes. I will then... finish my movement to circle around Baltus's body,
mm-hmm.
and I will find myself directly next to this Gren, and I will use my final primal roar charge directly in his face.
I love it. I love it. And now, are you? Is this a challenge or a fear thing?
It's a challenge. Yes.
Ah, fucking A. That's so cool. I love it. That is a what are we? It's a wisdom saving throw from the Gren.
From Gren 14, old Catorce is what they called him back home.
And that'll be a 13. You have to beat.
Not gonna do it. He fails. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's like, yeah. Describe that as you come around. and roar.
Yeah. So as his buddy lands, I see his attention kind of drawn in that direction, and over Baltus' body, I just move into his line of sight and maintain eye contact with him as I just step slowly towards him. And as soon as I get within 5 feet of him, I'm unarmed at this point too.
Yeah.
I just push my chest up against his and.
That's so cool. I love that. That's probably it's probably even like more like jarring to this creature that like you're like just standing there like without a weapon drawn. You're like just like that's got to be unsettling. You're like, not only is this guy like ready to fight me big time. He didn't even bring his fucking weapon. So that's very very fucking cool. And then we go to our friend Alkaj Zim, who sees this reptilian creature and looks at Feltian for a split second and then just books it. And he gets over to the wall. As he gets to the wall, he drops his saber and his dagger there at the base of the wall and begins scrambling up and out of the arena. Feltian, what do you got?
Damn, what a coward is what I think as I see the backside of Alkaj slip over the top of that wall.
It is a nice backside, though. It is.
So many spots.
Yeah.
That's the second thought, I think.
Yeah.
Damn, that's a nice backside.
Let's see what his glute workout is.
Yeah, I make a note to ask him about that if I live through this.
Yeah.
I'm gonna try something. Feltian sees Prime do this spectacular move, throw this Gren, drop his glaive, throw the Gren, and then whirl around and roar. And you know, Feltian doesn't his instinct is not to run.
Right.
So he sees, you know, they're his friend's in trouble. So he's gonna run over. I think what his move is gonna be is to run over to where, to Prime, where he dropped his glaive.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to pick it up, and he's going to toss it over to Prime.
Okay.
Now, would that be considered an action? Or maybe a bonus action? How do we
Yeah, I think you could definitely get that as a bonus action.
Okay.
But you will have to, because you've got your shield and your Morningstar, right? So you, in order to toss it, you will have to drop your Morningstar.
Right. Is sheathing the Morningstar an option, or is that like too much movement for
sheathing? Would be an action. You can drop it for free, but sheathing would be that would you need
got it.
To like get into the action economy there a little bit.
Got it. Okay. The fact is that this this thing isn't probably going to be distracted for long, and these guys they have no line of defense, and I have a feeling those Gren are gonna probably bail anyway. At least that's my thinking. So you know, that's fine then. I drop my Morningstar. I run over, pick up the glaive, I fling it to Prime, and then I plant myself in between Baltus and the creature with Prime at my back, and hold my shield ready. And I guess if I can still pull out the last weapon I have left, which is my katar, and prepare for an attack.
I mean, you can pick the Morningstar back up.
Oh, and then just call that my that's it.
Yeah,
we're done.
And then you're good to go.
Yeah. Okay. Then that's what I'll do. Then that's
sweet.
That's my final move.
I fucking love it, dude. Very very cool. That brings us to Baltus, who has just pulled that sweet. Also, kind of like I feel like it used to happen all the time on the Adrian Paul series, Highlander, the TV series. He'd be on his knees and his head cut off and he's on dodge at the last second. Anyways, great show. He's going to kind of do like a little a backwards roll, grabbing his sword and attempt to flank Gren 14 now that Prime is there on the other side, and he will try and just jam the blunted sword into the creature's back. That is going to be a hit. And fucking max damage from Baltus on Gren 14, who was up until this point not hurt, so he is hurt now. Yeah. Baltus really, really gets a hold of him with that blunted sword. And then we go to our dinosaur friend, who is going to this, it's like roaring, looking around, kind of like rearing up a little bit. It's four limbs waving in the air, and this creature, this Gren, comes flying towards it, and the beast makes an attack on this Gren. And it just, wham, snaps its jaws onto this Gren. Doing holy shit. A massive amount of damage, and it doesn't even need to get its claws in here. It just like snaps this Gren in, I guess, in thirds, because there's like the head end, the leg end, and then like the little mouth-shaped piece that is in this in the dinosaur's mouth. It will, we'll say that it just uses the rest of its action to swallow that another Gren piece again and let out.
What sound is the mouth shape making when this is happening?
While it's happening, it's like a, one of those guys. But then for like, sure. Then after he finishes, it's another one of those.
Nice.
Yeah. And the crowd's like, yeah, they're definitely rooting for the dinosaur. The crowd is like, dinosaur.
The dinosaur is like, are you not entertained?
Yeah, dinosaur's doing these.
Fucking Gren.
Doesn't even have ears, but still doing it.
Do you smell what the croc is cooking?
He's a Gren stander.
Do you smell what the croc is cooking? Oh man, I wish we were more famous when you said that, because that was something that, like, if we had like 100,000 fans, there'd be like a lot of fan art of that. Do you smell what the croc is cooking? That'd be so cool. But anyway. Speaking of crocs and cooking, Quant, what's going on? As your hands are cooling off over there at the bottom of the pillar, what are you doing?
Quant is still focused on trying to get up on this pillar here, and will just attempt to climb on up.
Do it, baby. So as we said, there's that chain there.
Now here's my question. Yep. Can I get up there in one movement?
Let's say this. Let's say that the DC to climb that chain up the thing will be a 7. And if you beat that DC by more than 5, then you get up there in one shot.
All right. And what am I doing this athletics, or am I doing this as a strength? What am I doing?
Athletics. Athletics would absolutely work.
Exactly 5.
Very, very nice. Yeah. Yeah, you make it up to the top.
So after Quant gets up to the top, he's like, you know, trying to catch his breath. He looks up slightly, of course, to Iota, and it's just like, oh God, what in the gods' name? What Mirathoth is happening right now? And I see both Feltian and Prime getting into position to try to face this awesome beast, and I'm trying to think, how can I best help my friends? And I'm thinking, this weird aura kind of starts to come around me, this purple aura, and it kind of just shoots out from me and tries to encapsulate this alligator as I cast Fairy Fire.
Incredible. I love it.
It's a DC, it's a Dex 13 save for the alligator. Now, here's my other question. If you succeed, can I use my inspiration to make you roll again?
I will say that would work, but I will also say that you have to say now that you're using your inspiration to make me roll twice.
Yeah, I'm gonna do that.
And then it's used, and I will roll twice.
I am doubling down, then.
Double down, baby. Okay, all right. I like it. Let's see how fucking dexterous this creature is. Not extremely. Okay.
Even with those big-ass legs?
I mean, it's got big ass legs, but it's also, you know, a big old boy. It's fast. So it doesn't have like a good cornering, probably. gonna run zigzag. Here comes a, and it does not have dexterity as a saving throw. That is a 10. He fails. So yeah, as this light envelops this giant creature, what color is the light?
It's purple, but it kind of matches its the alligator's colors to kind of mix this blending color of the purple and, like, I'm guessing the alligator's kind of a brown greenish tone.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's kind of muddles its features in that sense.
Oh wow! So it's like the scintillating purple hued
nimbus
surrounding the crocodile. I love it.
And everyone who is attacking it, they have a sense that they have a vantage over this beast.
Incredible. Very, very nice from Quant.
And then I look at Iota and I'm like, did you just see that purple stuff leave me?
It's like a Sunny D commercial.
It is.
Purple stuff.
Oh, purple stuff.
What do you have in your spell book?
Purple stuff.
Orange juice. Cola.
Burning hands.
Great drink.
Do you remember that Sunny D commercial where he's like, would your mom pack you for lunch? And he's like, pudding cup, sandwich, Sunny D. And the guy's like, how did your mom fit Sunny D into your lunch? He goes, magic. He goes, oh yeah, magic.
So many great commercials from the 90s. truly the golden age of juice commercials.
That's true. I mean, the Capri Suns were up there too, if I remember correctly. Yeah. They're very refreshing.
Squeeze it, girl. You squeeze the fun out of it.
They're all standing on the shoulders of
Kool-Aid.
Fruit punch.
Yeah. Or fruit punch. Yeah.
I was gonna say Ecto Cooler from High C, but you know, that's more of a late 80s, early 90s.
Ecto Cooler.
Anyway, right after we record 1776, our Revolutionary War podcast, there is our discontinued juice drink podcast. So be sure to like and subscribe.
The
to,
juice drink.
Yeah, the juice drink cast.
Tarantino has cereal. We have juice drinks.
There you go.
It's fine.
So then
gotta find a niche.
Then we go to our friend Willem DeFriend, and he is going to do a little thing called disengage, and he's going to move over here and try and like buddy up with Laquende. And then we go to Grenten Wins, who is going to follow him because he's, you know, he's like that, and he's going to take an attack and hit. Uh-oh, Willem, don't worry. It's minimum damage. Don't have the drop for that.
Minimum damage.
There it is. So Willem DeFriend still in the fight. Don't worry, guys. He's gonna be fine. The gods themselves couldn't stop Willem DeFriend. And then we go to Gren 11, who is just... I'm gonna make him roll a wisdom save because he's just like staring into the maw. Oh no, wait, no, he's dead. Oh god,
yeah, he snapped in.
Yeah, he's eye is staring up from the dirt. Yeah. And the other one is staring into the the stomach.
Yeah, because he actually gets two turns because there's two parts of him.
He's doubly dead.
So his the top half.
Actually, there's three parts.
That's right.
Of him. He gets three turns.
But his torso is currently grappled by the creature's stomach, so it's incapacitated. But his top half wiggles, and his bottom half, the legs kick. We're going to have to put that in the content warning. Just some really gross shit happening in this one. Okay, no. And then he dies. And then he died. But did he die? Yes, he died. There we go. And with that, we are with our friend, Iota Cunningham.
I see the light coming out of Quant, and I shield myself because I've never seen anything quite so spectacular. And once the light has gone down, I look at him and I'm impressed both at how quickly he climbed up for someone who's not a rogue or ninja per se.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
Then I take the opportunity to fire my short bow again while the beast is in flame.
Love it. Luckily, it's at advantage because of that fairy fire.
Fairy fire. fire, that's what it
is. I never knew that's what it did.
Oh, yeah. Very fire.
In all the years I've played this game, I didn't realize it gave advantage. I just thought it just, all I thought it did was make a pretty light around the creature.
I mean, does a little bit extra. I
swear to God.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Iota. The old double nat one.
Wow, snake eyes.
Fuck yeah. I didn't know that was possible.
Can be done.
Anything's possible.
But wait a minute.
Halflings have
that's
luck,
right.
Don't they?
You have a trait, Iota, called halfling.
Oh yeah, when I roll a one.
Yeah.
So do you get to reroll both of them?
No, you can reroll one though. So roll one more attack.
A two.
If it's another nat one, I would shit my pants. Oh, it's a two. God.
It's a two. Okay.
All right. You know what? It's okay, though. At least it's not a critical fail. At least you don't just lodge the arrow directly into Quant as he's coming.
You fall off the pillar.
Yeah. You shoot Quant and then stumble backwards off the pillar. All right.
I'm like bleeding profusely from my neck.
Oh, God. Oh man,
no!
That would be yeah. And then just a tight shot on Iota as it's going back as he's going backwards over there. Amazing! I love it. So that is a miss, but not a critical fail. So, but goddamn, two ones and a two. That's let the good times roll,
sitcom.
Baby. Iota, do you get a bonus action there?
I'm gonna reload.
Yeah, I love it. That brings us to Gren 12. Who's also going to run over as he sees he's enraged that Willem DeFriend killed his friend Gary and then just fucked off like it was nothing. So he's going to take a swing at him. And miss on the first one, but also miss on the second one. And fucking Willem DeFriend, baby.
Untouchable.
Real MVP. That brings us to Gren 13, who looks at Prime. This narrows his eyes and growls, a defiant growl. And he's going to attack Prime. And fucking miss. That is going to be a 10. And it's not an advantage because all his friends are dead. But that brings us back to the top of the order. Laquende, what are you doing?
Well, I thought we were climbing pillars, but it seems like only half of us are. They are going to spin around, face Willem DeFriend, and say, "I would duck, lovey." And they're going to pull two daggers out from each hand and then let them fly on the diagonal towards each of the Gren flanking him.
Okay. All right. I like it. Let's talk a little bit about mechanics here. And this is on me. Yeah, no. Yeah, absolutely. Do that. Because, like, we're not exactly on the squares as they should be, but fuck it. Let's forget about the map for a moment. Do it. Let it rip. Two dagger throwing attacks.
Great. So we will call this attack on 12. Seven. Sorry. I rolled damage. I'm so sorry. Yep. My bad. Even worse. It's a 3. And then attack on 10 is a 22.
Attack on Titan. That attack on Titan. That is a big old hit. So let that damage fly.
I will on that one. 7. That's exactly what I rolled before in damage. 20.
And also, you get sneak attack on that. Because that Gren is within 5 feet of an ally.
So sorry, you broke up. What was that?
Oh, I was saying that you get sneak attack on that hit because that Gren is within 5 feet of an ally of yours. We limbed a friend.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
remind me what that does?
Sneak attack?
Mm-hmm.
It does an extra d6 of damage.
Thank you.
So if you look down on your... Yeah, under Martial Ranger abilities, you'll see sneak attack.
5.
Yep. Beautiful. That's going to be... Wow. Okay, so 12 points of damage on old Gren 10 wins.
That's not even my good hands.
And, yeah, this dagger sinks into him, and he spits some blood out, and he growls,
Jemai, you will be the next to die.
You can tell his heart's not really that hurt.
It was half-assed.
Yeah. He really phoned it in. And then we go to
I can
Prime.
Taste your ambivalence, mate.
Prime easily deflects the attack from the Gren, who he is just now with the glaive that he caught from Filchian in his hand. It just flies whoosh, into his hand, then he just knocks the attack away. I think I want to kind of like circle around his back, like after I knock it away, just like do a spin and end up kind of behind him. Mm-hmm. Next to Baltus now.
Yeah.
And him, and with one hand attempt to grab him and shove him towards
I love it. So it's not going to be an advantage.
That's all right.
Because you're only using one hand. But he did just take a pretty staggering blow from Baltus in the back. So roll your athletics check.
15.
That will do it. I was going to say a DC for that one. Which I want to start doing more just DCs instead of contests. But yes, so now here's what I want.
Tell me what you want.
Roll
what
a... Yo, I'm going to. Roll me, Prime, another... Just give me a, like, flat... No. Give me another athletics check.
Jesus Christ.
Okay.
7.
Okay. Right? But it's a skill test, so it doesn't matter that it's a nat 1. Now I'm going to make him roll a strength check. And if he beats you, he's only going to go 10 feet. If he loses... He's gonna bump into the goddamn thing's mouth. Okay, he goes 10 feet. So, he's right there by it. Okay, yeah, he basically like throws him, and now Feltian, there is this Gren like essentially between you and the creature.
Quick question.
Yes.
Is Baltus able to take an attack of opportunity?
Now, here's a stupid thing. Here's a stupid thing in the rules of Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition, that you do not incur attacks of opportunity when you do not leave the space willingly, which is stupid. That's the dumbest thing in the world. Why wouldn't you?
No,
so
it's
let's
understandable.
Get rid of that stupid rule. No, I mean, it is for like mechanics and like balance, but in this instance, as the master of the balance, he... Who puts his finger on the scale of justice? I will say, yeah, fuck it. Baltus gets an attack of opportunity. Because I love Baltus. I'm doing fan art of Baltus. just for my own. I don't put it anywhere. I don't release it. It's for my own personal use.
Just going to tape it to the ceiling of your bed.
It's just festooned around your bedroom.
Yeah, so I got to... Everything that you can't see on my room, covered in Baltus fan art. It's like, oh, I have like all like 90s wrestling posters with just like Baltus's face pasted on top of Kevin Nash, who's the best. So Baltus is gonna make an attack with his blunted short sword, and he's gonna hit, and he's gonna do fucking max damage. Baltus, this is why I do the fan art. And yeah, this like so he gets a slice, another just like real like jam. It's almost like a mix of bludgeoning and piercing from this blunted sword, and you can see that this Gren is like out on its feet.
Yeah. So, as I like twist around this Gren to grab it from behind, I kind of lean over its shoulder and put mm-hmm. my face towards Baltus, and I say, "Leave to fight another day." And then that's when I shove the Gren, and Baltus takes his strike. And kind of following the momentum of that Gren, I will then begin to run towards the closest pillar to me, which is the most, the north, west pillar, and I will end up there.
I love it. And then Baltus takes an attack of opportunity as you run away from him. That's what you get, you son of a bitch! He says. No. Baltus, like, salutes you as you head over to the thing. And then we go to Alkash Zim, who finishes climbing out and just says, "See ya," and and is gone into the stands. He's like, "Oh, I really wanted a hot dog. Does anybody else want a beer?
I'll take one."
If we wait, the line's gonna be really long.
They're a bit light, non-alcoholic.
I would like a $17 craft beer, please, in the stadium. Give me a 8-ounce Brooklyn Lager for $19. That's a joke for anybody who goes to like Shea Stadium or Yankee Stadium,
Forest Hills Stadium,
yep. U.S. Open.
Yeah, so.
$12 so for expensive. Natty Light.
It's crazy. Yeah. $40 for an order of chicken fingers. Anyway, that brings us to Felty and Frost.
Hey, hey, hey. Alrighty. This is a quandary.
Yeah.
I'm standing 10 feet from the dripping, Gren-soaked maw this thing. And I see Prime run over to the column. I see Baltus kind of scampering away. I see Alkaj chugging a beer. And it just, you know what? It just hardens my resolve.
Yeah.
And take a deep breath, step forward, and I fucking swing at this thing with all my might.
Yes.
I'd also like to, I want to just add that I did cast Divine Favor last.
Very true.
The last game, and it's a minute long, and I believe it's still active, if that's the case.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It has been no more than, like, at most. We are currently in, I think, round. I don't know if I fucked that up or not. It's been less than a minute, for sure.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
10 rounds.
I think
rounds.
It's only been, like, 3 rounds since I cast it or something like
so,
that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you're good.
So. That's just gonna be a straight up Morningstar blast at advantage.
Yep.
That's gonna be a 22.
That's a big old hit, baby.
Woo.
Roll that beautiful bean footage.
It's gonna be 5 points plus my dueling. That's gonna make it 7 points of damage.
Yep.
And then I'm gonna add a D4 of divine light. And that's another 3 points.
Okay. 10 points of damage all day long?
10 points total, yeah.
10 points in total. In totalio. Very, very nice.
And that's, I mean, I think that's my action. And I think the only other thing I could probably do is just, like, brace myself. Like, hold my shield and hope for the best.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. You swing your Morningstar, you catch it. Like, full across the face as this, like, slaver and Gren viscera goes flying away. And you see these, like three deep gouges that the spikes of your Morningstar left across its horrible snout. And it just, its head gets... I have to stop going off mic when I'm acting things out. Its head gets snapped to the side, and it turns back, and it looks at you.
And I go,
I love it.
And as I do, just my canines just elongate a little
bit. Fucking cool. Oh, yes, I got a fucking D&D boner just now.
Right over there.
Full on, fucking
creamed
six to midnight.
Over those incisors.
6 to midnight. I did not ejaculate. I want to be very clear.
Right. Yet. I have a few more rounds in me.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. 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 I took that feat. That brings us to Baltus, who is, he is pretty fucked up. He's taking a lot of damage, but he is not he's not one to run away from a fight. So he comes over here and he picks up a spear from one of the dead Gren, and he launches it at the creature for a... That's going to be a hit. All right.
Nice.
All right. Yeah, Baltus.
Well done.
Baltus only rolls max damage. I want you guys to know that.
All I do is win.
That's a feat he has.
He's got a feat where when he only has one hit point left, he can just roll max damage. That's going to be max damage. That's going to be... Max damage! I don't know why I did that instead of pressing the button.
We've got many ways of that, happening.
There's so many ways a max damage drop can happen. Quant Kano, you've just fairy fired this demon reptile. You've just had an arrow, like the feathers, like just brush your nose as Iota rolled a 1, a 1, and then a 2. And so what are you doing now, my dude?
Quant is, now that he's on this pillar, he finally is out, almost at eye level with the audience, and he's hearing them cheering and enjoying this blood fest that's happening, and it sickens Quant. And he looks at these people as if it almost makes him question his devotion to Marathos and trying to help these exact people who are here to see this bread and circus. And he's like, well, if they want a show, I will give them a show. And I lift up my mace and I pray to Marathros, and a guiding bolt comes striking down onto this beast.
Oh man. So this is like probably casting fairy fire. And like, and these things, like, that maybe like the audience, like, even like doesn't really realize what's happening. They just kind of see this like nimbus spring up around this thing, and the flames. They're like, that could have been like a pyrotechnic trick, but like now, casting guiding bolt in like full view of a stadium full of people, they are about to see something that the world hasn't seen in like 200 years, and they're like seeing it at the equivalent of like WWE SummerSlam. I fucking
here's Quant in the spot.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, this would be like
losing his religion,
using his religion. Hell yes. This would be like if the Pope like healed somebody at WrestleMania. I love it. If the Pope made somebody like cured somebody's, I don't know what. That's amazing. I love it. All right, let it rip. At advantage.
Oh,
you already did.
I rolled a 22. I was too excited.
That's a big old hit, man. That's a big old hit.
Yes.
I love it. Fucking, oh my God, this is going to be so much damage. Well.
No.
Not a lot of damage.
Not too much.
Not a lot of damage, but, so 8 points of damage. But
4 cool bolts.
But yeah, and now guiding bolt also adds advantage.
Yes.
Yeah.
So here's what I'm gonna do. Since advantage doesn't stack, I'm gonna say roll 2 more d6 for
it.
Flavor. I mean, not for flavor, for actual damage.
Yeah.
But I'm doing it as a flavor thing.
I love how that
for
tastes.
Flavor damage.
Flavor damage. The old
as flavor
damage.
To you.
Yes.
So many.
Oh my God.
Next to 5.
So nice. All right. So that's another 5 points of damage, as this thing like grows.
It's double digits.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And it like glows even brighter there for a minute, as this bolt of like sunlight energy, the Sunny D energy. You got big Sunny D energy, baby. Slams into this reptile, doing a very respectable amount of damage. And Quant, you got a bonus action or anything, buddy? You want to just like jump off the pillar and try and land on his back?
if he was a little closer, but Quant's gonna just continue holding his mace up because I feel another bolt.
Okay,
coming.
Okay.
Next turn,
I'll see if I can. I'll see if I can get him over a little closer to you. That brings us to our friend Gren 10, who is once again going to try and attack Willem the Friend. And critical fail, but it's at advantage because of back tactics, but he's still going to miss. And yes. We then go to the man looking to redeem himself, probably, from three of the lowest roles of his career. Iota Cunningham, what do you got, pal?
First of all, I look over at Quad and I say, wow, you're quite full of tricks. Maybe next time we lead with the boat and then we do the other things. And I try to see where the boats hit the beast and aim my short bow at it and fire.
I love it. I love it. Give yourself a plus two. Well, you don't need to do anything, but I'm going to give you a plus two to that attack for saying that you're aiming for the scorched area. You don't need it. A 23 will hit. And yeah. So, but fucking roll again at advantage. Just to see if you roll that nat 20.
Yeah.
Nope, still a 25 to hit. That's which is enough.
16.
So let's see some damage. And now that
six.
Beautiful sneak attack damage to. All right.
Ooh.
What are we talking? 17 points of damage all day? 17 points of damage all day. And the creature, yeah, there's this charred area on the creature's hide where this guiding bolt slammed into it, and your arrow, you see it, like, the first one went in, like, just barely sunk the entire, like, head of the arrow in, but shooting at this newly, like, charred area, you see the arrow sinks in, like, halfway into the creature, and it once again roars in pain. And if anybody spoke Caracodil, you'd be like, fuck! Ow! God damn it!
That hurt!
That's what Prime hears.
Not in the burn!
Ow! Ow!
Telepathically,
ow!
Yeah, he says
that. Yeah, you're, ow, 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 ow! Oh my god. Amazing.
Okay.
Iota, any sweet bonus action up there, buddy?
Gonna reload that short bow.
Hell yeah, dude. Hell fucking yeah.
This is the funniest combat, because Iota's, like, at the end of everything.
Yeah. And then we go to Gren 12, who's going to take a... he hates Willem to friend. To him, he is indeed Willem to enemy. he gets a piece of him. He gets a piece of him. But it's going to be an advantage. Let's see if he gets a crit. He does not. And it's going to be... Ouch. 8 points of damage. He swings this kopesh, the pointed end coming around Willem Defren's defense and sinking deep into his flank, doing 8 points of damage on Willem Defren. And Laquende, you've got a front row seat as you see Willem Defren's legs buckle and he starts to drop towards the sand, and that brings us to your turn. What do you do?
Question.
Yes?
Would they know if Beltian continues to have advantage through this turn?
Yes. Anyone who attacks the creature has advantage.
Okay.
Because of the fairy fire.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, then.
Yeah,
that...
fairy fire lasts for like a minute, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, great. So, knowing that, I'm going to step over Willem Defren's body, just kind of like span it with my legs.
He's still alive.
Oh.
He's still up. He's just wavering.
Okay. Well, can I kind of like shove him behind me?
Yeah.
I can take any action economy you want, but I want to get him behind me.
Okay. Yeah. I will say that you can do that. And I won't give the Grens attacks of opportunity because I like you guys better.
Thank you.
I like my PCs better than my monsters.
So he is not willingly moving out of this.
Exactly.
He
so
is.
Therefore,
he is not
playing by
willing,
the rules here, guys.
Willing to friend.
There it is.
Yeah. Oh man.
Yeah. Oh, I hope he survives because I want to keep making these terrible jokes.
They're truly so good. Forgive me, out of 12 and 10, who looks the most fucked?
10.
All right.
100%.
I'm going to go 2 daggers to 10.
Okay. Let's roll that first attack.
22.
That's a big old hit. Roll that damage.
Mm-hmm. Axiacus.
He is dead. So I'm going to say you don't have to sink your second attack at Gren 10. You can.
Can I use it against 11?
I would be upset if you didn't.
I mean, why wouldn't I? Egregious failure on my part if I didn't roll an 8 to attack.
That's not going to hit.
So psyched from that first victory. Just swell it wide.
Yeah. He dances back a little bit out of your dagger range slightly.
You sneaky bastard.
That brings us to our friend Prime.
Oh my gosh.
Prime.
This is how
now?
I start
What's
every turn of mine. Oh my gosh. First off, all of a sudden this thing just starts kind of like pulsing and radiating with this color and energy. And I've noticed that. And so while I kind of twirl my glaive in my right hand and sink it into the sand next to me, the blade of it, I look over to Felchian and I say, "This is Mirthos. Two?
Yep.
All right." And I give him like a cool, awesome nod. And then I just, with my left hand, pull out my longbow. And seeing Laquende and Willem de Friend in trouble, I fire a bolt at the Gren that is by them.
Gren 11.
Because it seems like this crocodile has been pleasantly dealt with and distracted at least for a round.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a crit.
That's a crit! Please stop. I can only get so erect.
For 14 points of damage.
14 Woo! Points of damage. I love it. Just tell us how that Gren dies.
Well, I was, you know, Prime was really hoping that all the Gren would have been dealt with or run away like Felchian was hoping before this point in the battle. And so, like, seeing that these two are still going after my companions and this, like, almost helpless guy, I'm just, like, even more pissed off with them than I am with this beast. So just one, I pull the bowstring back as far as I can, getting as much fucking tension on it as I can, and I just level the arrow directly at his head, and it pops like a balloon.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. And like, as an 8 foot tall Goliath, your arrows have to be like just fucking like, just well bigger around than I think of like a normal arrow.
I think when you imagine Prime, or you imagine his equipment,
you should think
of the Uruk-hai general from the first.
That's
Lord
what
of
I was
the
thinking
Rings.
Of, yes. Like how thick the arrows look in Boromir's chest. Yeah. Spoiler alert!
Fuck.
Spoiler alert!
Sean Bean dies in a movie.
Sean Bean dies in everything, y'all.
Could you imagine if somebody was listening to this podcast and had never seen the Lord of the Rings movies? If this is like the thing, like. They were like, you know what? That's it. I'm going to check him out.
Yeah, I'm convinced.
No. You know what?
This is the moment.
This Tolkien guy, he's on to something.
New Zealand, baby.
Well, that's the thing, too, is I wield a longbow, but longbows are generally, like, you know, placed on the ground. You know, humans have to, like, put them and set them.
Yeah.
But with Prime, longbow is, like, regular bow.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yes.
Oh, that's sexy. I dig it.
Yeah, this thick-ass arrow fucking thunks into this Gren's head, and it just, like, takes him off of his feet, and he crumples against the pillar, dead.
Is it, like, where the arrow takes his head, his body stays in one place, but the head just gets pinned to the column?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And the arrow is just quivering?
Yeah. And then the body just runs around for a little while, the body invokes attacks of opportunity from everybody over there, and then the head is like just like swinging on its axis on the arrow. Amazing.
From
Prime.
Across the arena, Laquinda's gonna go, "Thanks, lovey!"
Yeah.
Prime gives her a peace sign.
Peace sign from Prime.
I think that's it. I'm gonna stay in my spot, hold my ground.
Yeah, absolutely. That brings us to Alkaj. You guys look up and you see Alkaj is like eating an ice cream out of like a helmet. You know, like you can,
Like you get at the collector's item. Collector's item.
Yeah. It's like fully a medieval like.
Yeah. But it's like a Viking helmet. Yeah.
You can like flip the faceplate up and down to keep it cool.
Absolutely.
I would buy one of
those. Kind of. This is one of the nicest stadiums in Thorum. is the arena.
You can actually wear the helmet when you're done.
Yeah.
Just exactly. Ice cream it's dribbles.
It's a real helmet. It's a real helmet. They just put ice cream in it. And then we go to Feltian.
Ah, I am just in the thrall of battle still.
Yeah.
The excitement of it is coursing through my veins, so much so that the spirit of Mirathos again is inflamed inside of Felchin's chest. So when he goes back to make his attack this time, he invokes Mirathos again, maybe not even thinking about it. Maybe it's just so, you know, the heat of the moment, Mirathos just kind of comes to mind. And he invokes Thunderous Smite upon his Morning Star.
Love it.
So that's going to be, I think that's just going to add, some thunder damage. So let me roll the attack here.
It's a big old hit.
It's 24 to hit. That's gonna be max damage.
Wait for it.
Max damage.
There we go.
That was an extra. Nice.
That one was live.
That's gonna be 12 points of damage plus my dueling damage. That's 2 points.
14.
Shit.
Plus, let's add the thunder damage.
Yep, let it rip.
That's going to be 5 points of thunder damage.
So, how much damage are we talking all day? That's 14 plus about 19 points of damage.
19, and I believe because this is an instantaneous, it's concentration. So it does break, it breaks Divine Favor. So that's it, 19 points of damage.
Okay.
And the target is pushed back. It must make a strength saving throw.
Okay. What does it have to beat on the saving throw?
13.
And you guys are seeing my rolls, right?
Some of them.
Some of them. Some of the NPC shit. I'm just rolling here for speed. So a strength saving throw has got to be to what?
13.
Yeah.
He's a big boy.
This thing's strong. Yeah, you light into this thing and like. It like tears a chunk off of its snout. You know, like sometimes you see like a crocodile or something with like a piece of its snout missing.
Yeah.
Like, how'd that happen? You know, probably a fucking Dampier Paladin fucking wailed
probably,
on it.
Probably. Yeah.
With a goddamn flail.
With a, not a flail. A Mirathrothian Morningstar. Yeah.
With a Mirathrothian Morningstar.
Get down!
Mirathrothian. Yeah. Yeah, that's fucking Alkash. Off in the sense, yeah, dude, fucking great, man. That was so cool. He like spills his ice cream. He's so excited.
You deserve it, you twat.
And then Baltus, he steps over to this other Gren and lifts a spear off of it, but he doesn't have the juice. He misses with that spear, and with that we are with the giant reptile and. The back half of it, Feltian, you see this prime. I'm not sure if you noticed because you were just focused on killing that that other Gren. The back half of the it's called a caracodil. Did I already say that? Yeah, we all know that.
Yeah,
it's a caracodil. The back half of it swings out towards you, and it lashes out with its tail.
Oh my god.
Oh boy.
Yikes.
Oh man.
Be glad Prime is a big boy.
That is a crit. Okay. All right. Okay, it's a crit. Okay. All right. Okie doke. All right.
A good
here
crit?
Comes... I mean, This is not a
good... No iota.
We're going to see what happens. All right. Okay, but... No, okay. All right, all right, all right. Here it comes. Okay, okay. All right. Oh, my God.
Oh, it's Julie so much.
Damn.
Edge.
Thank you.
Oh, my God. Okay, it's 21 points of damage.
Woof.
How are you doing, Pod? Pod?
That's just the first roll, right?
No. No, no, no. That is, this is a homemade creature that I have not,
Okay, so 21 is the full damage?
Just like the Grens were doing a d20 plus 5 damage with their swords last time. Sometimes I don't always get everything right.
Okay, but 21 so is the full damage.
Yeah, it's 21 points of damage.
All right, I will activate Stone's Endurance.
Love it.
I can shrug off damage, a d12 total of damage, and that will be 10 points of damage.
Oh, shit. Nice. All right, great.
Nice.
So, yeah. Yeah, 11 points of damage, but then, you know what? You gotta make a saving throw, buddy. A strength saving throw.
That's okay. I'm not dead.
You're not dead.
That's a 9.
That is a fail. So what's going to happen is, like, as this tail fucking just, like, whips around and slams into you. Did you get whipped by the tentacle last time? I think you did.
No, Ryan did.
No, Ryan did.
See?
Yeah, see. Seguro. So, yeah, this tail fucking crashes into you. And it's got, like, it's probably taking you a surprise, too, because you, like, turn to fire this arrow, and you are knocked 5 feet back and now prone. And with that, and then the caracodile will also take a bite out of... Oh, that would have been so good if it was you, because I could say he's going to try and take a bite out of Prime.
I mean, it can move to try to do that.
Oh, it can, but it's focused on Feltian. It's going to try and take a bite out of Feltian.
I would hope so.
Yeah, here it comes. Here it comes.
Come on there, you slavering bitch. Not today.
It's a 9. It's a miss. That's a miss. But what it is going to do is also try and claw at you.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Oh my god.
Extremities, though.
Damn, dude.
That's another crit. It's a crit machine.
Motherfucker.
Be glad it didn't crit with that bite, because that bite is 2d10.
Yeah, that would have been big.
Yeah, that would have hurt.
All right, here comes some other damage. Okay, not quite max damage. It's gonna be 11. Oh, it's gonna be 14 points of damage. 14 Ooh. Points of damage, Feltian. This thing, it snaps out at you, and you manage to duck beneath the snap. I'm off mic again. God damn it! Focus. Be a professional, you piece of shit.
Jesus.
As you dodge beneath its snapping jaws, maybe like you go down, and as you're going down to the left, the claw is coming up towards you, and it comes around your shield and catches you a devastating blow.
Gah!
14 points of damage to Feltine Frost.
Ooh, okay. Ooh, shake it off.
Shake it off, baby. Okay. Shake it off. And then we go to Quant Cano.
So Quant is like, first off, he's really disappointed in how much Marathos helped him with all that firebolt damage.
Right.
So he's looking up at Marathos and he's like, I could use a little bit more of that juice, make it a little bit more electrifying this time, especially now that my two friends have got this crocodile. Getting to them. No punchline there, sorry. Anyways, so gonna roll a guiding bolt.
Let it rip, baby.
And gonna do advantage.
Yup.
And I miss.
Yep. Yep.
Mirathos says, I helped you too much this time, sorry. Quant puts down his mace in a defeated way and kind of looks over at Iota and is like, gives him a shrug.
And with that, we go to Willem the Friend, who, what the hell, he'll fucking come over here, he'll run up, he'll pick up a spear off of this dead Gren and let it rip. It's a crit fail. He hurts himself.
What if he killed himself after all that we've
done? Oh my god, could you imagine? That would have been
great. Falls on his spear.
Yeah, no, he pulls a hamstring, and he's like, yeah, he's out. He's out for the rest of the fight.
My motherfucking hamstring!
That was good. Good to foe. I mean, to friend. Welcome to friend. Iota Cunningham, what's going on up there, buddy?
Oh, man, a lot. A whole lot of moving. As I look at Quant, and well, you can't win them all, I guess. And I see... I don't know, I see Feltian take a hit, and, you know, my heart is like, oh... As well as seeing Prime before take the biggest hit I've ever seen him take.
Yeah.
So, how far am I from this beast?
You are 35 feet away.
I mean, I can jump really far now. Can I try
you
to
can
jump,
jump pretty far. You wouldn't be able to make that jump. even with the elevation, you wouldn't be able to make it. I love
your
thinking.
I'm so emotional at seeing the comrades get hit that I just like, ah! These arrows, one at a time, is not working. But, alas, that's all I can do. So I'm gonna try and hit it in the eye. I'm gonna try and blind the creature with an arrow, at least one of the eyes.
Okay.
So
I
aim my short bow at the eye closest to the column I am standing on, which I believe is the right eye.
Yeah.
And I let it fly.
And that's a hit. And what I was going to say is that because you're aiming for its eye, it would be at disadvantage, which would cancel out the advantage that you get from the fairy fire. So it's just a straight up 19. That is a hit. I'm going to say that it will now suffer some consequences now that it's blind in one eye. Let the damage fly, baby. 9 points of damage, and let's see that sneak attack too, buddy boy. Ooh. Ooh, okay. All right. So that's going to be 16 points of damage. Yeah. The arrow sinks into its eye, and like you see, like it's like it is no longer like in full control of its like facilities. You can see that it's like it's definitely taken some probably like I don't know. It's like its motions are very jerky. It's not moving with the fluid grace that it used to. And with that, we are with Laquende.
They are going to survey everything that's just happened in terms of Feltian and Prime, and they are going to use just full sprint, use their full action to try to get 60 feet to maybe flank the head of this beast.
Okay. I love it. So, yeah.
I love that you need a hand.
Yeah. Could use a hand right now. Thank you.
Well, yeah, remember that whole, life bone thing? Yeah, that still stands, so here we go.
Ooh, fantastic. You sprint across the sand, sliding to a stop there by the Caracodile, and that brings us to Prime.
Prime shakes off the brutal blunt strike for a moment. His vision is hazy. He's ready to grab the glaive that he buried in the sand in front of him, but now as he kind of gets his bearings, realizes he's been pushed back 5 feet and now the glaive is out of his reach. And so, realizing now his position on the battlefield, he just readies his longbow once again, moves back about 15 feet to get out of striking distance of this tail, and shoots towards the back of the skull of this beast where its head meets its spine.
Let it rip. Yeah, baby.
With advantage, 22.
There it is. 22 is a big old hit. Let's see that damage.
That is max damage. Mix. This is the Prime remix to the remix damage. Hey, party people.
Amazing.
12 points of damage.
The creature, like,
it's like its movements are becoming more and more jerky. This arrow sinks into the back of its skull, and you see it's like it's now slumped. It's moving in very like it's very jerky and like not at all coordinated anymore. And we go to Al-Kaj, who has we don't even see him anymore.
He's fucked
and
off.
Then we are with Feltian.
Okay. Just brutalized by that last hit. It doesn't diminish Feltian's resolve. He sees his friends rallying to his help, to his cause. He sees the arrows flying in and thunking into this beast, and it just makes him more determined to finish this thing. So,
yeah.
That said, he takes a firm grip on that Morningstar and swings one more time.
Let it.
With advantage.
With advantage.
And he does not connect with a 10. I imagine.
No. No, that is not a... It's not going to be a hit. All right.
Man.
All right. All right. So, yeah, it's you know... Maybe you see that, like, despite the fact that it is so, handicapped here, and it is so like it moving so much more slowly, so much more with so much less grace. It is still able to like kind of duck enough, get the way out of the way enough that your Morningstar kind of skates across its.
I'm gonna try because I still have a bonus action with
sure
my shield.
Sure as fuck do.
And so, missing with the Morningstar, I'm just going to take my offhand and swing at this thing to try to knock it off balance.
Okay.
To give the next attack some advantage.
Okay.
And that's going to be a strength. That's going to be a strength check.
Strength check, yeah.
Against, I guess, what would be my strength DC on that? I think 13.
13? Okay.
Yeah.
You have a plus 3.
Plus 4.
Then it would be a 14. It's 14. 8 plus your proficiency plus your modifier.
Oh, okay. 14 then, yeah.
It's a 25 from the Caraco deal.
Not today.
It's one of the...
Not
like,
today.
You swing out with the shield, and like its head doesn't even move as the shield like bangs into it.
It's kind of rings. My arm shakes.
Yeah. What that does mean, though, is that you lose that plus 2 to your AC
for
the rest of this round. So
that's all right.
That's all right. Baltus all right. attempts to move up and throw another spear, but it goes wide. And now the Krakodil is looking right at you, Feltian.
Yeah.
You've just smacked it in the face with your shield, which it did not care for. And it's going to make a bite attack at you. That's a dirty 20.
Yeah.
Which is going to hit.
It's
fudge.
It's going to do 17 points of damage.
Feltian utters a sort of a shriek. A very unbecoming shriek. Sort of like, as he crumples to the ground. Unconscious.
Oh, my. You would crumple to the ground, but you are currently in this thing's jaws.
I'm in the maw.
In the maw. In the mouth of the reptilian. And then its back section comes around Laquende, and
this tail
comes swinging at you.
Did he fold himself in half? Is he half accordion?
He is. He is. That's an 11, though. So I think that misses.
Yes, it does.
Fantastic.
They duck underneath.
And then it's going to slash at you with its claws for a critical fumble.
And then they roll away.
It hits its own tail. And
trips
we go
with his own tail.
We go to Quant Cano.
You've just seen your friend, Feltian. Feltian, were you about to say something?
I'm not. I can't right now.
It's a death rattle.
Because I'm breathing through blood right now.
Oh, shit. All right. All right, Quant.
And Quant sees the blood bubbling out of Feltian's nose, and he just feels like he needs to do something big. He needs a game changer, and he's like, I only have one coach in life, and that's Mirathros, and I hope he calls a good play. And I just look, and I look at Iota and how much Iota's been nailing his mark early fumble, and he just goes ahead and casts Sacred Flame.
Oh, do it.
So it's actually a save on your end.
Okay, all right. What kind of save?
That's a wisdom. 13 is the check.
This is not going to be... That's a fail. Let's see some damage.
Five damage.
5 points of damage. Okay, yeah. Now this thing is like herky-jerky. It's not moving well. It is all charred up. It's got an arrow in one eye. It's covered in blood. But it has not dropped yet.
Jeez, and please.
Yeah. Iota, what do you got?
So I'm watching as the beast writhes around from all the attacks, waiting for an opportunity for the head to turn so that I can aim at the other eye and hopefully blind the beast. What do I have to roll to see if I can get that other eye?
I'm going to say once again, it would be at disadvantage, but you still have advantage because of the fire, so it's just going to be a straight up roll. That's a hit.
Look at that.
That's a hit.
That's a
22. That's a 22 to hit. Roll that damage. 6 points of damage. Okay. Roll the sneak attack. Another 3 points of damage. Not a big sneak attack. Not the massive sneak attack damage Iota is known for dealing out. But it's enough. So, Iota, go ahead and describe how this happens.
Drop him!
So the arrow goes into the left eye, so both eyes now have arrows sticking out of them. He rides around, and he's, Feltian is still in the mouth, right?
Yeah.
So he roars, and Feltian falls out the mouth of the beast, and then it stumbles backwards, swings the tail a few times, and then falls to the side.
With a final... death rattle that time. It drops to the sand. Just at the same, almost the same time as Feltian collapses to the ground, this creature drops to the sand. And for the briefest instant, there is this like silence in the arena before the audience just like erupts and like in cheers and screams. But of like enthusiasm and excitement, but then like when somebody says something out of pocket on a 90s sitcom, you hear the ooh, as you see the same door that you entered through opens up, and another group of Gren enters. And the biggest alpha you have ever seen, like, makes the other alphas you have seen look like regular old shitty Gren. It's got a cracked, one of its horns are cracked off. It's got an eye patch. Fucking looks super cool. It raises this sword and it looks at you and
it
bellows out. Yeah, it's smoking a cigarette. It's got a cigar in its mouth. And it bellows out, "No, we have them where we want them." And then there's these twang, 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 twang of bowstrings as these Gren. Did anybody ever see American Gods?
Oh, yes.
Like that, you know, that scene where like the Viking like walks out and then just like 1,000 arrows pepper into it?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
so
like
good.
That.
Just a volley and a half.
Yeah, exactly. All these Gren are just like peppered with arrows, destroyed by arrows. And you look up to the stands and you see Alkaj there. And he drops a longbow along with all these other mercenaries. And he picks up his helmet full of ice cream again and he says, damn. See you next week.
Oh, come on.
I was all ready to hate Alkaj. Damn it.
Right? What a fucking roller coaster of emotion with Alkaj.
Stop playing,
playing
with
games
my heart.
With our heart.
Oh, man, I was at least hoping to, like, you know, get a little bit of breath back in me before the end here. But, you know, I guess the audience will just have to wait to find out.